of the field the wild asses quench their thirst. By them shall the fowls of the heaven have their habitation, which sing among the branches. He watereth the hills from his chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of thy works. He causes the grass to grow for the cattle, an herb for the service of man, that he may bring forth food out of the earth, and wine that maketh glad the heart of man, and oil to make his face to shine, and bread which strengtheneth man's heart. The trees of the Lord are full of sap, the cedars of Lebanon which he hath planted, where the birds make their nests. As for the stork, the fir trees are her house. The high hills are a refuge for the wild goats, and the rocks for the conies. He appointed the moon for seasons. The sun knoweth his going down. Thou makest darkness, and it is night, wherein all the beasts of the forest do creep forth. The young lions roar after their prey, and seek their meat from God. The sun ariseth, they gather themselves together, and lay them down in their dens. I would like to introduce what the choir is about to sing, for if you, like I, have been laboring under the delusion that when we sing, "My Lord, what a morning," we are talking about morning, we are not. We are talking about what St. Matthew says in his book, chapter 24. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened. You remember? And the moon will not give its light. And the stars will fall from the heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then will appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, U-R-N. And they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory, and he will send out his angels and a loud trumpet call. And they will gather his elect from the four winds and one end of heaven to the other. My Lord, what a morning.
Oh,
evening's brief few words is not a text at all. It's a life. The life of Martha. A Martha no one here really knows. Maybe no one anywhere really knows. I met her, but I don't know her. She really lives in Washington, D.C. And she is old. Martha has lived what most of us would call a rather full life. Her husband was in the diplomatic service, and they had a good family, a large family. And they lived in a large house in Georgetown. Martha's husband died. And the children grew up and gradually moved away from the large house. Enough children moved away so that Martha could close up the third floor. She just closed it up. And the children and Martha lived on two floors. And the rest of the children moved away. Martha found it difficult as she grew older to climb the steps to her room on the second floor. And so after a few years of living alone, Martha closed up the second floor. She just closed it up. And she moved into the study, which had a hide-a-bed. You could open it up in the evening, sleep on it, and close it up the following morning. And after a few years, Martha found that it was too difficult to open up the bed and to close it up. And so she moved out of the den. She just closed it up. And she moved into the room that was the servants' quarters. It wasn't as elegant as the den, but it was all that Martha needed. But it wasn't long before she discovered that she really didn't even need that. She got tired in the evening, and she just fell asleep on the couch. And so she closed up the servants' quarters. Nobody came to visit Martha. She had all of these interesting things in her home, from her interesting life and from her travels, and they were all gathered in the living room. And it got so that there was no one to show them to, no one to talk to them about. And it became a bad reminder of days that she wished were still around. But they weren't. And so she closed up the living room. She just closed it up and moved into the one room, the only room left in an 18-room house that was necessary for her, that would provide her what she needed to have. And when I saw Martha in her 18-room house, she was living on a blanket under the kitchen table. The sink was her toilet, and the icebox was her larder. It would probably be enough to end the story of Martha right here. And yet there's a tremendously important addition to Martha's life. Next door to Martha is a church, a swinging, far out, really radical church. They have tried everything at least once. They have Missanova, Missabossanova, Missaluba, Jazz Missa, Folk Missa, Balloon Missa, Kite Missa, you name it, and they've got a service for it. They've got guitar, they've got organs, they've got recorders, they've got Moog synthesizers, they've got the whole work. And if the occasion is special enough, everyone gets a balloon and parades around the block saying, "Jesus loves me, this I know." And the balloons go bobbing up and down past Martha's kitchen window. And once, the pastor came to call, to ask Martha if she would move out altogether so that the church could buy her property. You see, it doesn't really matter how well we can think if we don't know how to do it. Amen and oh yes. Could we sing hymn number 228, please? I'm going to get some Bach down your throats this week if it kills all of us.